Welcome to another edition of The News on Drinks Adventures as we get season 16 of the show underway. And once again, we're catching up on the news from the last couple of months. Well, I've been a bit preoccupied with my wedding and honeymoon, so apologies for the podcast hiatus. Here's the stories coming up in this edition. Insolvency Armageddon hits the drinks industry. Mighty Craft acknowledges tough market conditions. Hahn bets big on ultra-low carb. Fevertree overhauls Australian operations. And Brown Brothers launches Extended Lees Patricia Sparkling. We start off with some of the economic doom and gloom that the drinks industry is unfortunately not immune to. Recent weeks have seen wholesale beverage ordering platform Caddy, as well as online drinks retailer BoozBud, both entering voluntary administration, which follows several recent insolvencies in the beer industry too. Across business more broadly in Australia, there were 830 insolvencies in March, almost double that of March 2022. It's been described as insolvency Armageddon for businesses, many of which avoided insolvency during the pandemic, thanks to generous government support programs. Drinks industry veteran Nick Boots, whose most recent role was general manager of Stone & Wood, is founder of The Business of Beer, a consultancy providing commercial and strategic advice to brand owners. He says the spike in businesses going bust needs to be considered in a broader historical context.
You know, during COVID, administrations dropped by 50% across the country. So we're now seeing a big spike, but I don't think it's spiking significantly above what it was pre-COVID. It's just getting back to those levels, and it feels quite a bit different compared to where it was a few years prior. I think it's amazing how accustomed we become to a new environment, particularly when it's a really positive environment. And the government largely created that for a lot of Australian businesses over COVID. And I think everyone's very appreciative of that. However, now normality has resumed out the back end and we're heading into a consumer recession period. You know, it's likely that the mining industry will probably keep the country and GDP technically out of recession. But if you take that out and you just look at consumables, then yes, we will have two quarters of negative growth on that front. So there is, I've heard commentators use the word, consumable recession. So I think that's what we're moving into. So I think the level of administrations we're seeing now are probably consistent with what we've seen in the past during levels of slowing economic activity.
You talked about the changing consumer demand. Is that what you think's played the biggest part with what we've seen with Caddy and BoozBud in the last week or so?
Mate, I think it's one of the contributing factors for sure. And undeniably, one part of the economy and hospitality and drinks that is going well is, you know, there has been a real flock back to the on-premise, which is wonderful to see. However, that hasn't been entirely incremental. A lot of it's come out of retail. And for a lot of retailers, you know, experiencing double-digit declines. And even, you know, even the big guys like Endeavour, we've seen in their public reporting some tough numbers, particularly in the beer category. That absolutely plays a factor, is that shift back to on-premise. And at the same time, we've obviously seen all those interest rate rises, which just take away disposable spending. That's undeniably playing a role. And I think that will continue as they continue to bite over the next 12 or so months.
And obviously much more difficult for a Caddy or a BoozBud to access the funding that they need to continue on.
Yeah, and I'm not privy to the inside workings of those businesses and their financials, but absolutely. And I think one thing that over a better trading period on PAC over the last 3 years has been the launch of these businesses in really positive environments. And I don't know how strong their balance sheets were and what their capital position was like, but they probably figured, hey, we're growing at double or triple digits every quarter or so. Everything will continue at this rate, but there's nothing in reserve for when times get a little tougher. So I think fundamentally they're both very solid businesses and business models. And my gut feel is, yes, they're short of working capital. And I wouldn't be surprised if a buyer can be identified for both businesses and actually trade out of the tough situation at the moment.
What about on the brewing side? Another issue, I think, is that a lot of businesses made considerable capital investment during the COVID times in order to fulfil demand for packaged product.
Yeah, well, we have seen a lot of capital injected and a lot of optimism comes with that. But when things slow down, if businesses have stretched themselves too far and they've spent money on capital that's just not required in this slowing market, they're in a really tough position. And, you know, and we saw Ballistic Brewery up in Brisbane go into administration and get swallowed in the last month or so. And I hope I'm wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see a few more, because a lot have stretched themselves. You know, it's been a wonderful 10, 12, 15 years of incredible growth. And that's slowed as well, along with the current environment has contributed to it as well. But the craft has naturally slowed, so it can't keep growing at high double digits each year. So to that end, we're seeing brewers who've got two or three tap rooms. They've expanded the brewery to twice its current needs. They might have put in place a sour barrel program. They might have put a distillery in. So many other options, might have grown their team significantly. And they found, wow, we can no longer carry those overheads in this environment, and we need to pull ourselves back towards just our core business while we trade through this tough period, and then perhaps revisit some growth strategies in the future.
What are some of the sort of key pointers that you would be giving businesses at the moment to try and trade through this period?
The big one for me at the moment and the discussions I'm having around the trade are around having a plan, having a really tight plan with some assumptions in there that aren't too optimistic, but they're not too pessimistic. You know, they're realistic. They're probably a little bit conservative, and I think that's appropriate at this point in time. And then having a budget and a cash flow budget that reflects that. And it's amazing the number of businesses I talk to who've done a wonderful job growing to their scale they are in the last 3, 5, 7 years. But to actually sit down and say, all right, well, what does the plan look like for the next 3 to 5? And the answer often comes back, well, we haven't been able to contribute that time to pull that together, or we're just not sure. And I think, you know, the old fail to plan to fail analogy of saying is a really good one. So for me, that's really important. And that's something I'm working with a lot of brewers on, is sitting down and building that plan. So there's some clear direction and there's a path to get through this period. And when things start to pick up again, be ready with a really strong balance sheet and a really strong strategy, and ready to take off again.
You can find out more about Nick's new venture at thebusinessofbeer.com.au. And since this bulletin was recorded, Caddy Marketplace has announced its relaunch, backed by Singapore-based food and beverage-focused investment company, Lekka. Mighty Craft Managing Director Mark Haseman also acknowledged the tough trading conditions in its third quarter results announcement in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's been an interesting dynamic over the last little while. You know, the economy obviously is a bit lumpy for everyone. The rapid rate of interest rate rises has had an impact, no doubt, on households. I think we're seeing a growth back towards sort of mainstream to some extent and the lower end of what I would call craft. So I think that actually plays to a strength of ours. So whether it's better beer in the beer space, which we're seeing, you know, grow very strongly, clearly. Our other brands also holding up very well, particularly Mismatch and Hill Cider, I would say. And then on the spirit side, I think 78 also plays to that strength in terms of that consumer that's looking to maybe trade down from some of the higher end spirits offerings.
Haseman said any new products that Mighty Craft brings to market will have to be priced appropriately for the economic conditions.
You know, even in whiskey, it's sub $100 a bottle, which we think is right for the picking and relatively uncontested other than 78 and, say, Starwood. So, you know, I think, we're pleased with the growth of our brands, but we are very conscious of the impact that the economy is having on the punters out there.
Late in 2021, Drinks Adventures brought you a special documentary on Australian brewing legend Chuck Hahn. The Hahn legacy continues in 2023 with Hahn Ultra Low Carb, the biggest launch of the year for parent company Lion. Head R&D brewer Graham Gibson says it's a logical evolution of the Hahn brand, which has become synonymous with better for you products.
I think the basis for that evolution has always been within the Hahn brand. You know, when Chuck brought out Hahn Premium, the full strength lager, that was one of the first classic European lagers in the Australian market, craft made, you know, really big in the European hops, that kind of thing. And its development then into a really palatable, drinkable light beer and hand light, and then super dry, pushing the boundaries again of low carb. The foundation for driving innovation is, I think, something that the Hahn brand has done incredibly well from its inception. And we were just following in the footsteps of Chuck and those guys who did an awesome job setting up. And now it's, you know, what's next for Hahn? What can we do next? I think it fits so well with that brand. I think 2E's, 4X are very established, whereas Hahn's always been innovative. It's always been wanting to lead the way.
When the marketers kind of came and spoke to you and said that this is a product that they were looking for, what was the problem they presented you with and the trend and the consumer demand that they were seeing in the market?
Well, that was all around the more health conscience of the younger generation drinkers. To try and get through that was a real thought provoker. How do we get the carbs way down? How do we keep the calories low but still deliver a full flavor? So, you know, a fair bit of scratch in the old head. The development of the beer alone took, you know, almost up to a year, I think, to get it right. It's really about harnessing all of the, you know, flavor and sugar for fermentation from the barley, because that's what leaves the carbs behind, right? You know, it's that unfermentable sugars. So the challenge was really there about how do you ferment those sugars without disturbing the balance that they create in other beers. If you have a, let's call it a full fat beer, if you like, you know, you can make it more bitter because it's balanced with the sweetness. With this one, getting the balance right between the two was probably the biggest challenge they had after we'd figured out the care we had to give it in the brew house to brew it. You know, we brew it a bit longer. We take great care with our temperature controls and, you know, really maximize what's happening from a biochemical point of view in the mash to get that outcome. I'm expecting to get some great feedback from the consumers because it's such a good proposition. It's such a good beer. It looks cracking in the shop, and I think it delivers in the space that we wanted to hit, really.
And I should disclose here that Lion and Hahn are supporters of the Drinks Adventures podcast, as is the company featuring in this next item, Fevertree Australia. Fevertree recently announced it will bring distribution in-house and begin local production of its products under a unique partnership with Remedy Drinks, producer of kombuchas and other better-for-you products. I asked Fevertree Australia Managing Director Andy Gaunt about the origins of this relationship.
We started to know them as a company and as a brand not long after we had first found Fevertree in the supermarket channel, so in Coles and Woolworths. And one thing's very interesting is we saw a lot of affinities in the shopping baskets between Fevertree and Remedy. So very similar shoppers, but very different consumption occasions. And as I guess a small growing brand, not having this sheer scale of perhaps some of the big soft drinks companies, we found some tactical opportunities to work together for visibility opportunities in stores. And that was really the beginning of getting to know the Remedy team. And I guess through ongoing discussions, as they've looked at their production facilities and opened a brand new space just down in Victoria, as well as the shared synergies with distribution into the grocery channel, where they have some strength and our strength in the liquor channel, it's really led to an opportunity to join forces in certain areas and grow our businesses a little bit faster and differently.
Is this sort of a very different relationship to how Fevertree works in other markets?
It is a bit different. I mean, I guess in many markets we do have slightly different routes to market, James. We don't have one size fits all. Generally, we have been a business that, with the exception of our UK home market, has established ourselves with a strong distribution partner, as we have done here. And, you know, there's a long relationship with South Trade, who've done a fantastic job working with us and building Fevertree is probably a very similar model to what we do have around the world. What is different here, I guess, is the dynamic of this country, which has a very, very clear distinction between the supermarket channel and the liquor channels, which is unique. We don't see that same dynamic in other markets, is probably the driving reason why this relationship with Remedy is one that we feel excited about and is the right one for Australia, and probably why we don't see a similar thing elsewhere. You know, the ability to have two strong brands working together that are non-conflicting but kind of similar in position is not a unique thing. I think we see that in sort of the growth of portfolio companies everywhere. But certainly for our business, the distinction between the grocery channel and the liquor channel, and the slightly different capabilities, the slightly different routes to market, the different approaches to those two channels, we feel this is a good way of setting up both businesses, particularly as Remedy's portfolio of better-for-you soft drinks sees an opportunity across the pub, bar, and restaurant channel in the future, you know, a channel that Fevertree knows well through the work we've been doing for the last 7 or 8 years.
And so how far off is local production from starting here?
I would say certainly by this time next year, I'd be confident that the Fevertree core product range will be produced here, James. These things take a bit of time. And, you know, I think with a big Christmas looming, you know, we need to be careful to ensure that there's no disruption of supply at the sort of the key selling period of December, January. And kind of in terms of the process we're at, I would have thought within the next 12 months, certainly.
But ultimately, the motivations for doing it will be to ensure consistency of supply with some of the difficulties with logistics in the current market.
Yeah, that's right. It's a model that the business embraces. And when you add in the complexity of the last few years, supply chain is not an easy thing in the first place, let alone when you add in the hiccups and challenges we've had. We make a product that's fresh, that uses no artificial preservatives or sweeteners, and that means that our shelf lives as a result are a little bit shorter perhaps because of the use of some naturally sourced ingredients. So when you add in 4 months of lead time of shipping and you know, making to order, so we have fresh product, you know, it certainly adds time, which creates a bit of complexity. So we're going to reduce some of that complexity by doing that closer. And of course, the other thing is, you know, as a business, we've got very clear sustainability goals. So doing everything we can across our entire business, whether that be supply chain all the way through to our offices, through to, you know, us as individuals and the communities we work with. So, you know, reducing the quantity of glass and water that we ship around the world is also something very important to the business. And this certainly addresses that.
And actually, probably the only other thing that we could mention is that it looks like you're looking to fill a few roles as a result of this news.
That is true, yes. So we've been, I think when we first met James, it was me working for Fevertree here in Australia, supported obviously, as I say, by the teams at South Trades and DKSH. We certainly need a few more people now. So we've been hiring and building a team the last couple of months. And we are now just finalizing or putting together the field sales team who will be out there on the road, building relationships with our customers and telling, I guess, great stories about the brand. But most importantly, I think, looking at how we develop, you know, good profitable options with long mixed drinks. So we've got a team that are under recruitment right now and looking forward to getting them in so we can get everybody trained up and excited, ready for July.
And finally, King Valley Victoria Winery Brown Brothers has announced the special release of the 2010 Extended Lees Patricia Sparkling. It's been kept on lees for over 12 years, which Brown Brothers senior winemaker Kate Looney says has taken Patricia Sparkling to new heights.
The Whitlands Plateau, those vineyards that we've sourced from for the Patricia range, like they've been outstanding sparkling wines for, you know, since the Patricia program started. Especially the altitude vineyards, they really do have some perfect qualities to make high standard sparkling bases. Our Patricia Sparklings, you know, they're a minimum of 5 years. We've sort of found is the perfect sweet spot for those. Way back when we started disgorging for the Patricia release of the 2010, and we just went, wow, this is so lively and fresh and bright. We said, this has got years that it could sit on lees for. So it's a pretty special wine, really.
And you've been tasting it throughout the journey and kept deciding that it had more time to run.
Yeah, and I think it's a really nice curio to sometimes push the envelope on them a little bit and see how far they can. You know, we've done extended lees in the past, and you've just got to have the right parcel to have that, I guess, beautiful backbone of acid that still carries, and then because you get all of that, this secondary sort of complexity as it sits there. So, I mean, they take a long time. It's quite amazing how, I guess, robust those sparkling sitting on yeast lees are. Yeah, they're pretty phenomenal.
The 2010 Extended Lees Sparkling is available to purchase at Brown Brothers Cellar Door and online at brownbrothers.com.au for $160. That's all for this edition of The News, which will be back again next month. Look out for some ripping new episodes of Drinks Adventures in the meantime as we get into season 16. It's good to be back.